Welcome to the Talent Smart Podcast. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who will offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We want to explore how technology and business can improve and enhance the world. We're always keen to hear from you and let us know what topics you'd like to hear us cover in future episodes. Also, if you'd like to take part, please let us know. We're always looking for interesting and inspiring people to interview. Speak soon. Hello, everyone. Welcome back again. I'm delighted today. Been joined by a guest. I tracked him down on LinkedIn. Really keen to have a conversation. I approached him about a career change that he made, which we'll come on to in a little bit. But up until January 24th this year, or January 2024, our guest was a technical engineering specialist looking after maintenance and compliance of aerodrome electrical systems across the entirety of Heathrow Airport fields. He then went on to launch some social media channels and has actually hugely grown, 500,000 plus people, which I'm sure we'll come on to in a minute, and overtook Heathrow's their own official channels in terms of the aviation industry. And one of the things we want to talk to him about today is, why did he do that? What's next? And also, you know, his work that he's doing with organizations to boost the image and to modernize the aviation and engineering industry in terms of, you know, who's next, what the next generation going to look like. So Mo Tahir, lovely to meet you. Thanks for joining.
Thank you so much, Phil. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we just discussed off air. I'm obviously a lot older than you. I'm in my mid-50s, probably similar age to your parents. You decide to do 5 years at Heathrow. You've got a successful career path, and then you decide, No, I'm going to stop all of this. I'm going to go in a completely different direction. For me, I was fascinated by that story. So just tell us a little bit about why you decided to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, the day I joined Heathrow Airport, I realized that the things that I was working on as an engineer there are completely out of sight from the public eye. There's so much complexity and beauty in the complexity of what happens at an airport behind the scenes that's completely out of sight to the general public. It completely blew my mind. It's something that I was really fascinated to learn more about, because I'm like, listen, I love aviation, but I've never realized how complex these sort of hidden areas of the airport are. So I realized with that sort of insight, I was like, you know what? I want to tell more people about this. I'm fascinated and I'm passionate about this. I want to tell more people about this. So me personally, I've always been that kid when I was on holidays, you know, taking videos and pictures, and I'm very sort of digital in that sense, and I love being creative. So all that passion that I had for the stuff that I was learning while I was being an engineer overflowed onto the internet, just as it naturally would with somebody from in this sort of day and age. It overflowed onto this site that I had created, and over time I would create these little sharp, short, like pieces of content that would just summarize what it is that I'm learning. And I would just put it out there. And these videos were getting views and views and views. And then one of them popped off and it went viral. And then there was this flood of people who were sort of fascinated also by learning about what happens behind the scenes. Now, little did I know at the time, but I was actually fulfilling a gap in the market that was genuinely sort of making governments afraid. And what I mean by that is the majority of the aviation industry at the moment is between the age of 45 to 55. There's a massive percentage of those people. And you tell me, Phil, what happens to these people in 15, 20 years' time?
Well, they're going to retire and they're going to go in and maybe live a nice life in the Isle of Wight or the Bahamas, depending on their earnings.
Exactly. And then what happens to the industry if they're, when we look at the data, we realize that the actual amount of people that we have in terms of numbers that are to fill that gap is nothing compared to what it needs to be. So now you have a chunk of people that's about to leave and not enough people joining. And these videos that I was making were genuinely inspiring people to want to join the industry. So what I was doing was I was solving a problem using the skill set that I have. Funny I do that, because that's what an engineer does. An engineer looks for a problem and then looks at what tools they have in their toolkit to be able to solve that problem. So it's still an engineer, but solving a very different issue at a very different scale. And I recognize that. I recognize that, hold on a minute, I could, for the next 20 years of my career, solve the problem of engineering, aerodromes, technical stuff at the airport, and solve that problem. Or there's a much bigger problem that needs solving. And actually, that problem excites me. And the reason why I decided to throw it all in and go for a full-time career in educating, inspiring, and creating content about the aviation industry is because this is a genuine problem that needs solving. And I believe I have some of the tools that I can give to organizations in order to help solve that problem.
That's fantastic. And I've watched your videos, and they're short, sharp, but they're also entertaining. We spoke, before, and some of the things I picked up on there, which maybe we'll come back to in a minute. So in terms of what is that, the biggest challenge is definitely going to be the dearth of talent. Is that what you think that's going to be? I mean, there's a number of probably challenges facing aviation and airports, but that's you're obviously zeroing in on that, and I can understand why. What are the potential solutions for that, other than raising awareness?
So I think that it's a three-step process when it comes to a solution, and each of them can infinitely be tackled on an individual level. I think the first one is we need to inspire, right? We need to plant the seed initially of this industry in the hearts and minds of people. So that's the first step, that's the inspire step. Then we have the engage, which is when we actually invite them in physically for their first ever touch point into this industry, something where they can physically be there. And if not physical, then maybe just more engaged from a digital perspective, something where they feel like they are a part of it and not just window shopping. Window shopping was step one. Now they've actually entered the shop and they're looking at this stuff. And then the last thing is retain. So inspire, engage, and retain. Once we've engaged them, how do we make sure they actually join our industry and actually become part of that talent pipeline? And actually, if we wanted to look beyond that retention, how do we retain? I think that that is when we begin to develop them. So inspire, engage, retain, and develop. And we develop them into people who are able to progress up the industry, gaining more skills along the way so that they can become the leaders of the industry and not just remain within sort of the entry level roles when what they started off with. That's, I guess, the each of those, like I said, can be infinitely discussed in depth. But where I sit personally is that first two steps where inspire, engage. But I that's the reason why I wanted to work with organizations, is because I can't retain them by myself. But what I can do is I can help organizations create a funnel in, and then maybe beyond that, actually help them develop their staff so that, and maybe remove some of the glass ceilings for people from diverse backgrounds that they face within when they do join organizations, help them remove those. But that is a sort of stream of a solution that I think could really make a difference and move the needle for our industry.
And in terms of engagement, in terms of demographic, because obviously the there's going to be there's a time, almost a ticking time bomb, in terms of staffing, we're heading towards this horizon or cliff moment. What sort of age group are you hoping to you and the industry, because obviously you're working very closely with your clients, and where are they aiming right now in terms of, is it the teenagers, is it people who've at university who are maybe looking at doing some other things, or what's the demographic of the target area?
When you look at the demand and the projected demand, the result of that, the result of that actually means that they're targeting everything from the age of 25 all the way back to kids who are in primary school and secondary school. So really, because this is a rolling problem, and people and COVID had a massive impact in terms of already, like we've already had much of the exodus of talent and knowledge leave. So now we're beginning to pick up the pieces. If we don't tackle that broad range of young people all the way up to 25, maybe to from as little as 8, if we don't tackle all of them, it's not going to work. So we really do need to tackle all of them. But you can't use the same strategy to tackle all of them, because from 8 to 25, you're a completely different human being. You're thinking about different things. You're consuming different information. You're engaging with different areas. So, for example, last week I was at Gatwick Airport, and they had a bunch of kids from primary schools who were doing a Lego challenge where they had to build Lego robots in order to build stuff. And this was mainly catered towards the STEM environment. But you can do that with kids, but you can't really do that with an 18-year-old. The 18-year-old's needs are going to be very different. They're going to be probably scrolling through social media far more than the 8-year-old's going to be, or I hope at least Or not, you know what I mean. I hope they don't sit there just scrolling, but they probably will be more than the 8-year-old. So yeah, there's a massive range of people, and each of them will need to have a very tailored approach, just because they'll be present on different platforms, they'll be engaged with different things, with depending on what stage of life they're at. But that would be the chunk of people that I would say is necessary.
Now, that's amazing. And that just the example you gave there of inviting kids in and getting them building Lego models and solving problems, as you talked about earlier, as a good engineer, if you're on site solving problems and fall in love with the aviation and the airport industry like you have.
Yeah,
In terms
exactly
of
that.
what makes, I know you're very passionate about this, so we could probably make a podcast all of its own on this, but what makes aviation an exciting industry to be in?
I mean, things fly. That's pretty cool. Like the idea of, for me personally, ever since I was young, and I can really only talk about myself here, but I know that this applies for a lot of people. This awe and wonder, looking up at the sky, thinking, how and why is it that we've managed to get a piece of metal up into the sky? But I would really say that's the start. That's just literally the tip of the iceberg. When you join the aviation industry, what you begin to realize is that in order to allow this little thing to fly through the sky that seems like just works like clockwork, there is an infinitely complex amount of work that needs to go into doing that. Everything from the design of the aircraft and how much effort goes into picking the right materials and testing, and doing things in the wind tunnel and everything, the fabrication, the manufacturing, all of it, and the amount of detail and compliance that takes to make sure that this is one of the safest industries and ways to travel that there ever has been. How much effort goes into just manufacturing the actual aircraft, all the way to the operation and the amount of effort that goes into operating and really putting this whole massive puzzle pieces together from an operational perspective that allows that to take place. Then you have the actual airport itself, not just the airline, but the airport itself. Then you have the airspace and how the airspace intertwines. Everything seems to run like clockwork. But when you begin to peel back the layers on how and why, you realize that the answer to those questions are infinitely complex, but infinitely interesting at the same time. And the beauty of it is that it requires people from every single skill set, background, experience, all of it, in order to run this ship. When I say that, I mean the aviation industry, or run this plane, should we say. In order for this industry to run, you need people in marketing, people in finance, you need people in engineering, you need people just purely in operations, you need people in planning, people looking at logistics, you need people who are designing like fabrics for a flight attendant, you need chefs to be able to cook the food to go onto the plane. You need every single type of human being that needs to come together and do their own thing, the thing that they love, and so that can piece together in order to create the aviation industry work. I don't think there are any other industries which contain this level of both depth and breadth in terms of career opportunities. Because the way I like to think of it, and the way I explain it to young people, is if I was to, and I might actually use a piece of paper here just to really bring this to life, okay? If I was to here draw a nice big circle, okay, let's do this again. Piece of paper has just got ripped. Okay, so if I was to draw a nice big circle, okay, and this was the aviation industry, the beauty of this is that I can draw a circle for any other industry, whether that be fashion or food or logistics or anything like that, and they all are have a Venn diagram like overlap with the aviation industry. No matter what your interest is, there is a way and a place for it to overlap with the aviation sector. That is really what makes me excited, because if you ever have been in a situation where you're young and you look up at the sky and you think, wow, that's pretty cool, but you're an artist, you're not, you know, you like planes, but you're an artist, guess what? You can bring those two things together. There's a space for you in this industry, and you can make a whole career happen in that sub niche where you can bring that love and awe for the aircraft and for the industry and embed it into whatever you're doing, whether it's finance or art or cooking or anything. You can bring it all together.
Wow, that is amazing. And I never thought of the Venn diagram like that, of course, because there's so much, as you say, logistics, art. I mean, obviously, each of the tails has their own individual art on some of the aircraft, etc. Some of the design, some of it. Last time you and I spoke, we weren't recording, but we talked about some fun facts, and you gave me some party tricks, which are brilliant, and I have used it, by the way, since. if you want to just share that, particularly that one, and if there's any others, there are quick giveaways for fun facts about the airline industry. But I think certainly that one you gave me was about the Airbus versus Boeing. That was brilliant, and I have been using it at night. my son was looking at me, I was mad. So I'll leave it to you. I'm not going to steal your thunder.
Yeah. So here's the party trick. I mean, we've all been there. You all look up at the sky. You hear a noise. Right, and it's dark. You look up and you see a very tiny little light in the sky that's flying across. Now, you know, you might be there with a bunch of friends and all. And if you want to really impress them, look up at that light that's blinking. And you're going to notice that either it's got a very steady blink where it goes blink, 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 or it's going to go blink, 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 blink. It's going to have a sort of a little pulse to that blink. Now, if it's pulsing, it's going Airbus, Airbus, Airbus. And if it's one pulse, it's going Boeing, Boeing, Boeing. Just think about how many syllables are in the word Boeing, Boeing, or Airbus, Airbus. And you'll be able to point up at that sky and tell your friends, see that little light in the sky? That's an Airbus, or that's a Boeing. And then what you do is you pull out flight radar on your phone and you say, look, I'm going to prove it to you. And then you go on flight radar and you zoom in and you click on that plane and you say, told you, it's an Airbus. So that is a sure way to people to look at you and be like, huh? How did you know that was an Airbus? And you go, yeah, don't worry about it. I just know. And it sounds like you got magical powers.
That was awesome. And I have used it. I have put it into practice. So it's just amazing. What career advice would you give to a budding engineer? So I don't mind what age you want to pick, but let's say there's somebody who's in their teens, maybe engineering at school is they wanted to pick it, but it's they're not quite feeling inspired at the minute. Maybe they're feeling it's a bit boring, because you know it's like when you go through exams, it's all about a passing exam and passing assessments, and sometimes you can get bogged down in areas that are just not quite, you're not feeling cool, right? What advice would you give to them to sort of just bring them back into the fact that it is a cool, engineering is cool, particularly?
I think one thing about this cool about engineering is it's a career where you use your understanding of a thing to be able to problem solve and innovate within that environment. So whenever we look at the world around us, and we look at, for example, I always give this example of like a young girl who needed to go to school, but between her and her school there was a massive river, and every time she wanted to go to school she'd have to walk across all the way about 3 miles north. Then she has to get to the bit where the water's a bit shallow, step across and get her feet wet, and then walk all the way back, and she had to do that journey every single day. And I'd say, what's the solution to this problem? And they'd say, oh well, you know, be building a bridge. But it's like, okay, how do you build a bridge? You need to understand gravity, you need to understand materials, you need to understand how things work. You have to understand the civils work of like, when you put something into the ground, is it going to sink, is it going to float? The beautiful thing is that depending on what you're interested in, so if you're interested in air and aerodynamics and planes, then there's ways that you can problem solve and innovate within that. Same way that girl was getting her feet wet, trying to cross the bridge. You're going to find problems in this world that are genuinely problems that are probably going to frustrate you, and that you're not really going to want to have to deal with. And if you're an engineer, what engineering does is it teaches you how things work to the point where you can use the understanding of how things work to genuinely create things that make the world a better place and actually solve the problems of the masses of people around you to make their life better and make their life easier. That is what engineering is all about. But one thing that's really important in terms of an introspective perspective is you need to understand, are you the type of person who likes to be hands-on, or are you more theoretical? See, this is something that I don't think enough people speak about when they think about engineering. Do you want to be hands-on, or do you want to be theoretical? If you want to be hands-on, then the path of going to university and getting a degree might be overqualifying you for being hands-on ever again. Like, for example, me, I thought I wanted to be a hands-on engineer, got a degree in aerospace engineering and realized, oh, what, I had to do an apprenticeship? Ah, nobody told me this. So what's crucial is I always like to ask young people, do you want to be hands-on or do you want to go down more of a design route, and actually think about more of the project management and the sort of overarching engineering and the technical diagrams and stuff like that? Or do you actually want to be the one doing the doing? And then based upon that, what you'll then be able to do is actually get the person excited, because if they want to be doing the doing, you tell them pause, you don't actually have to go to university for that. You can get an apprenticeship or a degree apprenticeship that can unlock that life for you. And actually giving them that career guidance as to which direction they want to go would be probably something that I like to do. I mean, I wouldn't be an engineer if I was just giving advice that wasn't practical. So hopefully practical advice to actually understand what it is that they want to do. And then be able to at least give them that clarity on, do I go for an apprenticeship or do I go for a degree, or a degree apprenticeship that sits right bang in the middle. And then the beauty of the higher level stuff is just choose the topic that you're curious about. All you have to do is choose a topic that you're curious about and that you want to actually gain that understanding about, and then go from there.
Brilliant. That is amazing. Obviously, people can seek you out. The airport motor here, the airport guy, you're on to YouTube and Instagram, etc., all the usual places. What's I've seen a lot of your videos, they're brilliant. When what can we expect next? Because you've done amazing things, like you've flown on the sustainable flight, you've got behind the scenes of the airport, all of those videos are great. So when's your next release? When's your next drop? What's coming out?
So there's a few things that are coming out. At the moment, I'm doing a lot of work with ground handling agencies, specifically Denata, to be able to bring to life the things that happen behind the scenes on the ground, on the ramp of the airport. But I'm also having some very interesting conversations with organizations that are in very different parts of the aviation sector. Everything from how the food is made that sits on the flight, all the way to actually how helicopters are built from scratch. So I'm having some very interesting conversations across the entire sector. So watch this space. I can't give any timelines or what's coming next. For now, we're doing some ground handling, but hopefully within the future, my ambition really is to showcase the whole breadth of the industry and do what I've done for airports, but actually showcase the entirety of the aviation sector from end to end.
Well, it's been an absolute delight spending time with you. You are inspiration, entertaining, you're everything. Wish you all the very best in what you
Thank you
choose
so
to
much,
do,
sir.
inspiration of others, and I'm hope we get to speak soon.
Thank you. Likewise, thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you for listening to this episode from the Talent Smart podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We're always keen to hear your feedback. Please let us know your thoughts and what episodes and what topics you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We're keen to hear from you. Please let us know your thoughts and if you'd like to take part in future episodes.